Invasive diagnostic approach to patients with minor and myocardial bleeding. Coronary angiography is the cornerstone for the diagnosis of minor by excluding the presence of stenosis of more than 50% in any major epicardial coronary artery. The use of intracoronary vasodilators during diagnostic coronary angiography can increase the systolic milking of the tunneled artery induced by the systolic compression of the intramural artery and facilitate the detection of myocardial bleeding. A significant milking effect is present when there is a visual 70% or more reduction in the minimal lumen diameter during systole and persistent more than 35% induction in the minimal lumen diameter during mid to late diastole. Once the diagnosis of minor and myocardial bleeding has been established or suspected, the use of advanced diagnostic techniques might be performed at the time of coronary angiography, aiming at confirming the presence of myocardial bleeding and identifying the presence of one of the above described mechanism of minor associated with myocardial bleeding. Figure 1 is invasive diagnostic algorithm for patients with minor associated with myocardial bleeding. A coronary artery exclusion of obstructive coronary artery disease, evidence of epicardial coronary artery stenosis less than 50%. OCT or intravascular ultrasound, diagnostic of plaque rupture, plaque erosion, or spontaneous dissection of coronary artery. Intracoronary ECG provocative test is diagnosis of epicardial or microvascular spasm. DFFR-IFR is diagnosis of myocardial bleeding related ischemia. Intracoronary imaging techniques, intravascular ultrasound or optical coherence tomography, are extremely helpful in this setting. Intravascular ultrasound is an ultrasound-based technology that allows the detection of the systolic compression of the intramyocardial segment due to myocardial bleeding and of an eco-lucent area between the intramyocardial tract of the coronary artery and the epicardium, known as half moon sign, which represents the muscle band overlying the intracardial segment. Moreover, intravascular ultrasound may allow the detection of atherosclerotic plaque rupture or spontaneous coronary artery dissection. OCT is a light-based technique that provides high in vivo resolution images of the coronary artery that are approximately 10 times greater than those of intravascular ultrasound. Therefore, OCT has a higher diagnostic accuracy for the presence of plaque rupture, plaque erosion, or spontaneous coronary artery dissection. But it has a lower diagnostic accuracy for the detection of myocardial bleeding, mainly because of its limited penetration and a rapid OCT pullback and image acquisition. However, the presence of a heterogeneous fusiform band with sharp borders, and a low intermediate intensity signal surrounding the vessel adventitia has been described in the presence of myocardial bleeding, similar to half moon sign in intravascular ultrasound, but further research is needed for its validation. Intravascular ultrasound and OCT show plaque rupture at the discontinuity of the fibrous cap overlying the lipid-rich core. A ruptured fibrous cap is associated with a vessel wall cavity without an intravascular ultrasound or OCT signal. A thrombus often overlies the ruptured segment, but may be absent in the case of an old plaque rupture or with a recent rupture treated with antithrombotic therapies. Conversely, in the case of plaque erosion, OCT shows the absence of fibrous cap disruption in a lesion that is frequently composed of fibrous tissue with an overlying luminal white thrombus. Intravascular ultrasound and OCT can also be used to facilitate the diagnosis of spontaneous coronary artery dissection, showing the intramural hematoma with or without the intimal flap. Intracoronary provocative tests using pharmacological vasoactive agents can elicit a vasoconstrictive response at both the epicardial and the macrovascular level and therefore are fundamental for the diagnosis of coronary vasomotor disorders. ACH is usually preferred over ergonovine as a provocative agent due to its lower rate of complications. Moreover, performing an ACH provocative test in Minocca is safe with a relatively low risk of transient complications, which are mainly represented by transient bradyarrhythmia and supraventricular tachycardia. Given that ACH by binding muscarinic 3 receptors stimulates nitric oxide release from the endothelium to vasodilate and directly induce vascular smooth muscle cells contractility, the net effect of intravascular ACH administration is either vasodilation for healthy endothelium or coronary spasm, endothelial dysfunction, or increased VSMC reactivity. This test is considered positive for epicardial coronary spasm in the presence of 1. Focal or diffuse epicardial coronary diameter reduction more than 90% in comparison to the relaxed state following intravascular nitroglycerin administration given to relieve the spasm. 2. The reproduction of the patient syndromes. And 3. Ischemic ECG shift. On the other hand, macrovascular spasm is diagnosed with typical ischemic ST segment changes and angina develop in the absence of epicardial coronary constriction, that is, less than 90% diameter reduction. If other etiologies have been excluded, the dynamic stenosis caused by myocardial bridging may be responsible for myocardial ischemia and troponin release in particular circumstances, that is, hypertensive crisis, tachyarrhythmia. To assess the hemodynamic significance of microbridging-induced stenosis, the use of several techniques has been suggested. Fractional flow reserve is a pressure wire-based index that is routinely used to assess the hemodynamic relevance of intermediate coronary stenosis. FFR is obtained through the circulation. FFR is obtained through the circulation of the ratio of mean blood pressure distal to coronary stenosis to the mean aortic pressure during maximal hyperemia achieved by intravenous administration of adenosine. Cutoff value of 0.8. However, FFR may not be accurate for the assessment of myocardial bleeding, and it is based on the assumption that the difference between the mean and the diastolic pressure gradient value across the lesion is negligible at maximal hyperemia. Indeed, the presence of myocardial bleeding reduces systolic pressure gradient because of distal pressure overshooting during myocardial contraction, with the consequent overestimation of the mean pressure and consequently the underestimation of the hemodynamic impact of myocardial bleeding. Partially overcoming these limitations, diastolic FFR, which is only calculated from diastolic pressures and is obtained during the maximal hyperemia reduced by intravascular enosine, has been demonstrated to be more sensitive than FFR for the functional assessment of myocardial bleeding. Askind found that among 12 patients with symptomatic myocardial bleeding, DFFR identified hemodynamic relevance at 5 patients. In 5 patients, whereas mean FFR did so in only 1 patient, and the discrepancy between mean FFR and DFFR increased with debutine challenge. Indeed, as the dynamic obstruction caused by myocardial bleeding is deeply influenced by the degree of actual vascular compression and intramyocardial tension that is increased during exercise or stress, its evaluation at rest may underestimate the hemodynamic relevance. For this reason, inotropic stimulation with dobutamine may enhance the diagnosis sensitivity of the FFR, and a cutoff value of 0.76 for the FFR has been proposed during dobutamine provocation to identify stress-related myocardial ischemia in myocardial bleeding patients. However, the FFR is still not routinely performed because it is time-consuming, mainly due to the need for hyperemic stimulus with adenosine, inotropic stimulation with dobutamine, and data post-processing for its calculation. Additionally, non-hyperemic pressure in diastasis not requiring the administration of adenosine has been developed, including the instantaneous wave-free ratio. Instantaneous wave-free ratio, a diagnostic specific flow index. Taratini, in a prospective study including 20 patients with angina and an abnormal non-invasive test suggestive ischemia, demonstrated that IFR was associated with a higher proportion positive obstructive bridges compared to FFR. Of note is the fact that IFR has only been formally validated in patients without myocardial bleeding, with a cutoff value considered to be less than 0.89, while the measurement of IFR in patients with myocardial bleeding in both the rest and the stress state requires further validation studies. Finally, the non-invasive functional evaluation at rest of myocardial bleeding with computed tomography, the red FFR has been investigated, cutoff value 0.75, gray zone 0.75 to 0.8. However, further studies are needed for its validation, and moreover, this approach is affected by the same limitations that apply to invasive FFR, especially in minocular patients. Indeed, during the acute phase, microvascular and endothelial dysfunction may be present, raising concern regarding the achievement of maximal hyperemia, and consequently, the reliability of a variety can lead to the underestimation of the hemodynamic significance of myocardial bleeding. Similarly, cardiac magnetic resonance imaging could be used to assess for segmental myocardial perfusion defects
and allow the physiological assessment of the functional effect of myocardial bridging. But its routine use is limited by technical challenges and a lack of spatial resolution. In the context of MINOCA, cardiac magnetic resonance, thanks to its high accuracy in discriminating both ischemic or non-ischemic etiologies, may help in the differential diagnosis between myocardial infarction, inflammatory cardiac disease, and Takotsubo syndrome.